And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy, being heard around the world on shortwave radio out of Worldwide Christian Radio, WWCR, Nashville, Tennessee. I'm broadcasting actually from Austin, Texas. Here in the studio with me, Cammie Snyder and Jerry Barrett. And we're going to have so much fun today exposing the Illuminati psychological operations and the alchemy of control. Now, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Illuminati psyops, or psychological operations, and the alchemy of control. I've been wanting to do this program for quite a while, and I've been gathering a lot of research on it. And boy, I tell you, the next 60 minutes or so are going to be powerful. You're going to want to take some notes. You might want to get a pencil and paper. Better yet, order the CD audio tape, either one, naturally, the CD or audio tape of this program. I'll tell you how to get that about 30 minutes from now. I'll give you our address and so forth. Because I'm telling you, what I'm going to tell you today is an explanation of how the Illuminati elite are controlling the minds of the masses, and how it is that they, through their machinations, they are determined to bring forth this new order of the ages, a Luciferian kingdom on this planet. Some time ago, I did a radio program. Boy, talk about being descriptive. It was entitled Rise of the Illuminati Psychopaths and the Savage Horrors of America's Coming Gloom. In it, I discussed a new science called ponerology. Ponerology. There's a psychiatrist and scientist from the country of Poland who's written a book entitled Ponerology. I found quite a bit of interest. He made a statement in this book that I totally concur with. In fact, it corroborates my own research in this area. He said that psychopaths, in other words, inevitably rise to the top in political empires. And then they proceed to devastate and destroy everything good and moral in society. In any country that has a pretense to becoming a global world power, or even an imperial power in their particular region or area of the world, any nation that has risen to the level where through their arrogance and brashness and pride, they believe they can lord it over and dominate other societies and cultures and nations. The reason they do so is because obviously that nation, and I put the United States unfortunately in that category, they are ruled over by psychopathic deviants. Now, I'm not going to be able to go into a description exactly of what a psychopath is. You can get your Webster's Dictionary and you'll find out. I used to have a psychiatrist friend named Dr. Bloomberg. One thing I liked about Dr. Bloomberg, we were back in the Air Force in those days. We were both Air Force officers. He was an Air Force colonel, but he was a medical doctor and he was a psychiatrist. And you know, I had a master's degree and many courses in abnormal psychology and so forth. So I wanted to try to talk to him on a scholarly level. And I began to talk about, you know, abnormal psychology and classic deviancy and schizophrenia. And he looked at me and he smiled and says, grabbed me by the shoulder one day. He says, Tex, let's just talk about people who are nuts. Let's talk about people who are crazy. You know, let's get down to brass tacks. These people are nuts. I like that. I like a person who's just plain spoken. And I want to be that way with you today. A psychopath is a nutty person. But more than that, they're a selfish person. They think only of themselves, but you may not know it because they seem so all-loving. In order to gain control of a person's will, they can flatter you so much. You think that they care only about your needs and your desires and your hopes and your dreams. And they can appear to be the one that will help you to fulfill your greatest ambitions. But in reality, they are evil, evil people who, if they could get away with it in a dark, dark room, they would put their strong hands around your neck and choke you till the breath of life was out of your body. They're evil people. They're mean, cruel people with no mercies. And it seems that in these political empires, they rise to the top. The more savage, the more devious and cunning and calculating and cruel they are, and the more they're able to hide it and appear good and merciful and altruistic and loving and beneficent, the more they usually are even more cruel. And they somehow, because of their bent mind, they wish to devastate everything good and moral in society. And the principle of ponerology, or as I call it, evilology, the science of evilology, says that bent attracts bent. I'll just put that forth as a thesis to you today. Let me say it again. A bent mind attracts other bent minds, which is sort of the same as saying birds of a feather flock together. The Bible warns about companions, about those whom you communicate with. You know that's true. You run around with dogs, you get fleas. Sometimes you get bitten. But after all, that's what they are. They're dogs. You run around with criminals, probably some criminal act is going to be perpetrated on you eventually. But maybe you deserve it because you're probably a criminal too, or you wouldn't run around with them. A woman came to see me some years ago with a tale of woe. It seems that her daughter was running around with some bad girls. They were all 16 or 17. She says, my daughter's a real good girl. But she runs around with those girls that have tattoos and are taking drugs and they're promiscuous. It's just horrible. And they have filthy mouths and they listen to satanic rock music. And I looked at her, well, how long has your daughter been running around with these girls? Oh, about 2 years now. Does she have tattoos? Yes, she has them, but you know, they influenced her. Does she listen to satanic rock music? Well, yeah, because that's all they want to listen to. And she goes around with them, so she has to listen to it too. And does your daughter also talk filthy? Yeah, sometimes she curses me out, but I know deep in her heart she's a good girl. A bent mind attracts other bent minds. I said, your problem is your daughter may be influencing those other girls. Maybe she's not so good like you think. You've got a daughter who's just a slut and a floozy and a person who's evil. Well, she was shocked. She says, what can I do? I says, well, you and I can't do anything, but I know somebody who can. This person can change your daughter. Introduce her to Jesus. Don't try to change her. Don't try to say, change this and this. And she said, this woman had a whole laundry list of things she wanted changed. Well, you know, even if she could change 28 out of 100, the other, you know, 72 would foul the gal up. I said, just turn her toward Jesus, and he'll take care of the whole 100 of faults in the girl. She says, well, that's difficult to do. I said, I know. But it's easier than trying to change her whole lifestyle out of 100 things. It's easier just to let Jesus take over. And after all, he's better at doing those things. He's better at rehabilitating than you and I. He's better than a 12-step program or psychiatrist or anything. She had to agree with me. She wanted to know if I would pray for the girl. I said, sure. And I'd even like to meet the young lady. And she came, she brought her to me, and she was a very bad girl, no doubt about it. She told me she enjoyed being bad. I told her she had big problems. She said, how's that? I said, because I'm praying for you. Your mother's praying for you. And Jesus is more powerful than your will. And your will's going to get broken because we're going to pray for you. And your mother loves you. And I love you, and Jesus loves you. So what are you going to do about that, young lady? you hadn't got a chance. You're going to be defeated. Except it's going to be a victory for you. Because you're really going to live and have happiness. Because, you know, that poor girl, she broke down and started crying. She wasn't happy. She was bad. She was evil, but she wasn't happy. She was miserable. Some people you can change. Some people have got into a rut, into a lifestyle. But a psychopath, it's very difficult to change. It will take Jesus to change. But some people are so bent in their ways, and they attract others until soon, at the highest levels of government, all of them are bad and evil. And they bring the whole country down. And you can see this. This is the history of empires all the way back to ancient Babylon, Greece, Rome, through the days of the empires of France and Germany and China and Japan. It's universal rules. The Illuminati today use psychology in their operations, and they practice something called alchemy, which is a transformation of men's nature to control you and me and the masses. And I want to propose to you today, there are 9 fears that they exploit. You see, the best way the devil can get in a man's heart or a woman's heart is to get them afraid of something. Afraid of something. I once knew a man, and he spoke at many churches, and he spoke before many groups. And he would always tell them about all the devil had done. The devil's done this, and the devil's done this, and the devil's got these powers, and these people, oh, they're Satanists, and you know, I finally realized the man wasn't telling anything about what God could do. You know what he was doing? He was frightening people. He was working for the devil, but he pretended to be a church evangelist. There never was a word. I don't mind exposing the devil. The Bible says we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. But end it all, or in some place in your little talk, tell them about what God can do. Because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Did you hear that? Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And if he came to do it, he did it right. He didn't make an unnecessary trip down here. He did, in fact, destroy the works of the devil. In fact, he made a show of the devil. After Jesus rose from the grave, he went down to hell in triumph and brought some souls out of the devil's grasp. I bet the devil didn't like Jesus visiting him for 3 days. If you were the devil, you wouldn't like Jesus visiting you either. In fact, most ungodly people don't want Tex Mars in their presence. They don't want to be around me. They don't want to be around you. You've got the Holy Spirit in your heart. And evil people don't like you. And their spirit of evil can sense what is in you. That's right. I'll never forget the day I met a man who owned the largest occult bookstore in the world. I visited his store, and he saw me, and he recognized me. He'd seen me on television. And he decided to come up to me, but before he could get 10 feet from me, the man began to shake. He literally began to physically just shake. He was scared. Now, I want to tell you something, friends. If you've ever met me, I'm just a big teddy bear. I think I am. My wife says I am. I mean, if you were to come up and slap me in the face, I wouldn't harm you. I'd say, well, that's over with. I wouldn't hurt anybody. I don't even go hunting because I don't like to hurt animals. That's right. I feed them. I feed the deer. I feed the squirrels. I don't hurt any of them. Am I just a soft heart? Yeah, that's me. Yeah. That's me. But he was afraid. What was he afraid of? I'll tell you what he was afraid of. The devils in him were afraid. You remember the guy in the tombs was frightened to death because Jesus came close. When Jesus approached, the devils in that man in the Gadarene tombs cried out, "Thou Jesus of Nazareth, why have you come to torment me before my time?" Oh, they know their time is short. Their time is going to be up someday. And the old devils in that man, and there was a legion of them, by the way, a legion of them. Their name was legion because they said, "We are many." And they saw Jesus from afar, and they cried out in torment. That's what the Holy Ghost does to people who have Satan in them. Satan's tormented. I've met many, many people who are Satanists and others, and they are so frightened to be around me. Because of Tex Mars? No. The Holy Ghost in me protects me, speaks for me, confronts the devil. And he's frightened. He shakes. He's scared. Now the devil says, "I'm scared of God, and now I want other people to be frightened. I want them to be fearful. And through fear, I can grab a man or a woman's heart. I can grab the hearts of an entire society." And there are 9 fears that I've been able to divine, you might say, understand. 9 fears the Illuminati elite are exploiting to frighten and batter you and me into submission. And I want you to understand these 9 fears because I don't want you to be fearful of the devil. I don't want you to be fearful of the Illuminati. And I want you to know that God is more powerful than evil. Proverbs 11, verse 18 says, "The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward." We say, but the Illuminati, they've got all the money. They've got all the governments. They've got all the, they seem to own everything. They control the media and they shut up. Verse 28, Proverbs 11. By the way, I'm being nice telling you to shut up. There is a time to say that. "He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch." Wow. Connect yourself with the root that's grounded in truth, that is Jesus Christ. You're the branch, and you'll flourish. But as far as the one who trusts in riches, he'll fall. The elite trust in riches, they're going to fall. They're going to fall. Verse 20, chapter 12 of Proverbs says, "Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil." Boy, the Illuminati elite, they can really imagine the evil. "But to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just." There shall no evil happen to the just. "But the wicked shall be filled with mischief." Their whole life is filled with mischief. Bad things happen to them. You think, well, they're prospering. They're driving big cars. They've got this. They've got that. Oh, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes in their life. Their families are probably falling apart. They're unhappy. They're miserable. They're alcoholics. They're drug addicts. They're headed for hell, and they know it. The wicked shall be filled with mischief, but there shall no evil happen to the just. Wow. Isn't that amazing? What a promise from God. The wicked are in big, big trouble. And they know it, and meanwhile they want to frighten you and cause you to be scared. Don't do it. Now here's nine ways right now in our society they're trying to frighten us. You see it at your gas pump. Yeah, you do. Oil shortages, an energy crisis. I know you're paying a lot of money. A lot of you can't afford it. They're lying to you. There's no oil shortages, but they want you to be frightened. They want you to be fearful. What am I going to do in the future if this continues? I don't know what I'm going to do. It's interesting, the demand is down in America for fuel. Now, according to the law of supply and demand, as they call it in economics, when the demand drops, the price drops. But it doesn't drop here, because the elite are able to continue to manipulate the oil markets and drive it up, up, up. They've created artificial crises. They've capped oil wells across America. The planet, as I've told you before and proven, is awash with oil. But they lie to you and say, oh, we're running out. We're running out. I don't know what we're going to do. And then, if that isn't enough, oil, there's the water scarcity. That's the next big crisis. In fact, it's already upon us. There's a reason, as I've told you, why the elite rich are buying up water rights everywhere. They're buying up underground reservoirs of water. And now they're telling you, oh, we're going to have a great shortage of water. The United Nations had an international water conference, and they're warning, pretty soon nations will be fighting each other over water. The control of waterways, water. Scare you. Soon you won't be able to drink water. There'll be no water left. You'll be paying huge prices. Well, we already are paying huge prices for water. Now, a third fear that the elite is exploiting people with, frightening, battering the masses into submission, is food shortages, crisis in the world. To make sure that they can control this, they've even set up the United Nations Food and Agriculture Authority. There's a gigantic building, and I picture it in my newsletter this month, of the United Nations World Food Agency. And you know, many organizations, including the United Nations, have mottos. A lot of corporations have mottos. A lot of military units have mottos. Would you like to know what the motto of the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization is? Let there be bread. Let there be bread. See, they're like gods. Remember, God said, let there be light. God spoke everything into existence. So the United Nations just says, let there be bread. Gods on earth. In a gigantic building full of thousands of bureaucrats. And of course, we're going to have to pay for all those bureaucrats, wages and so forth. So they can tell you how much to plant, how much to harvest, who gets the food, who has to starve. Oh, you want to be one of the lucky ones in the coming time of food shortages. Rice has gone up 67% in price. I was watching the economic news today. They said chocolate's gone up 67%. Well, thank God I'm on a diet and I'm not eating any chocolate. 67%. Hey, forget about your Hershey's bar pretty soon, I suppose. And meanwhile, they're beginning to monitor farmers and crops with satellites watching them. They're telling them they cannot plant certain things and they cannot use certain seeds. And they're making the seeds so that they die out in 1 year. Now, why is that? Why is it that the huge organizations, the agricultural corporations, are selling seeds to the farmers? But the seeds die out because they've been programmed biologically through genetic engineering to die in 1 year. They're the Terminator gene seeds. If they want us to have so much food, why have they programmed the seeds so that they only give one season? Well, more money. You have to go back and buy more seeds the next year. And of course, there's another little thing you've got to consider. If there's going to be food shortages and crises and people are rioting and demonstrating and clamoring for food, their families are starving, they'll forget about things like freedom and liberty. When a person is at the basic, when he has no shelter, no water, when he has no food, he's not worried about abstracts such as liberty and justice. And he's willing to give up his freedoms. Just give him some bread. Just give him some soup. And then, of course, we have 6.5 billion people on the earth. And Ted Turner and all the others are saying, well, we've got to get rid of many of them. We've got to have population control. Maybe, like in China, they only allow one child per family to be born. Maybe they'll not allow any. And maybe you'll have to apply to have a baby. You'll have to fill out an application and be an acceptable parent and meet certain criteria. And of course, if you believe in that ugly, mean old religion, Christianity, you probably will not be fit to be a parent in the coming brave new world. Now, a fourth fear the elite are exploiting to frighten and batter us into submission is the weather. Global warming. Now, global warming is now being proven to be an idiocy and a fraud. So, in fact, all the scientists are now telling us that we're moving into a period of global cooling. In fact, the world's four most influential and well-known weather tracking sites, including America's own NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, have been tracking the weather for many decades now, and they're saying that there is no global warming caused by man. In fact, there's no global warming at all. It's global cooling, and that's a big danger. But people are confused. Just a few years ago, they were told that they've got to give up their way of life and sacrifice and give up their air conditioning and their big cars and all this because of global warming. And all the use of fuels and fossil fuels, so-called, use up our resources and cause global warming. And we've got to give up all these things. But now it's global cooling and people are confused. So they said, we've got to come up with a new name. Can't have global warming. Can't have global cooling. We'll call it climate change. So they've come up and say, we all now have to be fearful and worried about climate change. Well, what does that mean, climate change? Well, it doesn't really matter what it means. You have to worry about it. You have to fear it. And your mind must admit to a new reality. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power Prophecy. Hey, stay with us. I've got some more fears for you. Fears. What you believe, it might be that people have to fear that. Stay with us. You're listening to Tex Mars, and this is Power Prophecy. I'll be right back after this message. Is there a global seed conspiracy? Have the multinational seed corporations already sown our future? Do multinational corporations control the world's food supply? And is the survival of mankind itself now in the hands of an elite cartel of multinational corporations? Does the Illuminati elite have possession of what you and I are going to eat tomorrow? Several years ago, I wrote a tremendous book called Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos. And you know, everything I said in this book is now coming to pass. And more than ever, you need this incredible book. It reveals the horrifying truth about a monumental plot to starve Americans and the people of the whole world into submission. It may seem incredible, but isn't it coming true now? You're seeing what they're doing with the food supplies. Oh, when you visit your local food market, it seems there's so much food and so many varieties and so many types and kinds. But watch out. It could all end within 24 hours. And it's fascinating to me that the book of Revelation warns of a deadly famine and pestilence to overtake the world in the last days. The pale horse rider brings death with him, and hell followed with them, the Bible says. And we now face this ominous reality of mass suffering and death through shortages of food. Now, what can you and I do about this? This seemingly unstoppable, fast-coming food crisis. Well, we don't have to die of starvation and deprivation. You can live, you can prosper, but you have to know the basic rules, and you have to know what God said was going to occur in the last days. And that's why I wrote this book, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos. It's 224 pages in length, 224 pages. And for your gift of $18, now remember, we're not a nonprofit organization. So when I say a gift, I'm very sorry to say that you will not be able to get a tax break from giving this gift. But you will get a book. You will get a book like no other entitled Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos by yours truly, Tex Mars. And it will be one of the most revealing books you've ever read in your life about Big Brother's control of our food supply and what we must do about it to survive and prosper. Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, The Coming Great Food Shortages in America. Is it here now? Maybe. If not, it will come because the Bible prophesied it. And I want you to be ready. Now, $18 for this book, this 224-page book. Please add $4 shipping and handling. A total of $22 postpaid. Okay, we'll take care of the shipping and the postage for that $4. So $22 in all postpaid. Ask for the book, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, or simply Days of Hunger. Now, we have a video of this, too. I believe it's about 1 hour in length for $20. Please add again, $4 shipping and handling. You can call us toll-free to get the book, Days of Hunger. Just call 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. $22 postpaid, the book, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos. Now, I want to mention to you again how much we appreciate your love gifts to this ministry. And many of you are kind enough to tuck in another $5 or $10 or $20 as pure gift, not getting any book or anything else, but just as a pure gift over and above the purchase price. If you can afford to do that, we so much appreciate it. It's not required for the book, but we do love you for that. And we certainly need your help. I want to mention again to you those who feel led by the Holy Spirit to include us in your will. Include us in your will or your life insurance policy so that this ministry can continue on. Maybe even after Tex Mars and you, we're both gone and on with the Lord Jesus in heaven, we can continue as a Christian ministry. And so many of you have written and said to me, Tex, you're the only one doing what you're doing. You're the only one standing up for America, for our Constitution. The only one fighting evil and standing up for truthfulness and righteousness in these last days. Well, I don't know if I'm the only one, but I'll tell you, there are not very many. So we need your help. We want you to be part of this ministry. So please include us in your love gifts, in your will, in your life insurance, so we can continue on as long as Jesus allows us. That's right. I didn't say as long as Big Brother allows us. Not as long as the government allows us. Jesus controls everything. He's on the throne. And as long as he wants us to be here, we're going to continue telling the truth. And you're going to be part of this ministry, because when you give, you're a partner, a full partner. And what you've really done is employed Tex Mars as your agent. That's right. I'm your worker. I'm your servant. I'm your labor in the vineyard of truth under our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you all for giving. Thank you for your prayers. Now let's return to our regular program. We're discussing the Illuminati's psyops and the alchemy of control. The nine fears the elite are exploiting to frighten and batter the masses, that's you and me, into submission. That's what they want to do. This is an economic attack. It's a psychological assault on our senses. They want to frighten us. And once we're sufficiently frightened and scared and battered into submission psychologically and economically, they'll have total control over our minds and hearts. We'll be slaves on the plantation. And you know, it's not enough for our bodies. They want your very soul. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that the fearful are the first that'll enter the depths of hell. A lot of people don't know that. They look at homosexuals and adulterers and liars and murderers and cheats and defrauders, and they say, boy, surely that man or woman's going into hell. But the Bible says leading the list will be the fearful. And you know what comes after that? The abominable. And a murderer is abominable. A homosexual is abominable. A person who cheats and defrauds his fellow human being is abominable. But more than anything, the fearful. You know why? If you're a fearful person, you're an unbeliever. You don't believe God's promises. He said he'd take care of you. He said he'd give you the basics that you need. You say, well, I'd like to have a Cadillac. Well, he never said that. In fact, I don't think Jesus had a Cadillac himself. Did he? No. He didn't have a Rolex watch. He didn't even have a time clock. He had to judge by the position of the sun, I assume. But you know what he did have? He had faith. In fact, he's the father of faith. He had the power. He is the father of all power. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's everything to you and to me. Well, and he doesn't want us to be fearful. He doesn't want you to live in fear. He wants every morning for you to wake up, look in the mirror, and smile. Smile big. Show your teeth. You need to whiten them? Well, get out the brush. Whatever you need, but keep smiling. Whatever you have to do. Okay. We've talked about oil shortages. People are frightened of that, the energy crisis, so-called. It's a contrived hoax, but the Big Brother and the Illuminati want you to be frightened. The water scarcity. They want you to be afraid of that. Food shortages. They want everybody to quake in their boots. They've created oil, water, food shortages. And now the weather. Oh, things are bad. Our kids are taught. Kids come home, Mommy, the world's going to end. Global warming, climate change. Oh, woe is us. It's a lie. It's silly. Of course, it means nothing. You know, it reminds me of a man who came from the federal government and spoke to a bunch of ranchers here in Texas. And he was telling them they're going to have to give up their lands because a little bird might land on it, an endangered species. All of you ranchers, he said, you're going to have to stop using your land. And that's still going to belong to you, and you're going to have to pay taxes on it. But you can never use it because we've got to protect this little bird. And a rancher spoke up to the federal man, and he said, and this was on television here in Austin, he said, why do I have to give up my land to a bird? Let him go somewhere else and alight on a tree. Why is it important that we protect this little bird? And the federal man said, well, sir, it's scientific. And the rancher said, what science is that? He said, well, sir, it's the circle of life. And the rancher said, the circle of life, what is that? He said, well, it's just a circle of life. He says, well, tell us what that means, the circle of life. What does it mean? He said, well, you know, everything comes into the world, and then everything partakes of other things, and then everything dies, and then other things are born. It's the circle of life. And everybody in the room started laughing at the federal man. He said, I'm trying to explain what the circle of life means. And they said, well, you haven't explained very good. He said, well, it's very complicated. They said, obviously it is. You don't understand it yourself. There is no such thing as the circle of life. Oh, that's sort of like the Hindu guru who told me he was superior to Christians. This was a debate I had down in Florida. He said, we're superior to Christians because we believe in karma. And we believe we're going to come back over and over again. And I had to laugh. That was sort of a circle of life argument. I said, well, golly, your gods have to keep doing it over and over. My God knows how to get it right the first time. I feel sorry for you. That's pitiful. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, verse 27, it's appointed for a man once to die, afterward the judgment. Once. Not over and over and over again. How pitiful is that? The guy almost fainted. He couldn't answer. I said, I live once, and then I live in a glorious, wonderful place forever and ever. How many lifetimes are you going to have? He said, oh, maybe 10,000. I may have to come back and suffer as a lower caste person. I may have to come back as an animal that's cruelly treated. I may have to come back over and over. I may have to come back as a mosquito or a fly. What kind of God would make you come back as a mosquito or a fly? I asked the gentleman, and I'm being gracious in calling him a gentleman, but the circle of life, climate change, global warming, the polar bears are jeopardized. Now, they don't tell you that while Antarctica seems to be having less ice than previous decades, down in Antarctica, down in the South Pole, there's more ice than ever before. Well, they don't want you to know that. A fifth fear the elite are exploiting to frighten and batter the masses is terrorism. Be scared. Be very scared of the terrorist. Now, you know, I was reading yesterday that in the year 2007, 47,000 Americans died on the highways and the roads of America through traffic accidents. 47,000. And, you know, I was thinking about it. I was just wondering how many Americans died in the United States of America, all 50 states, from acts of terrorism in 2007. Guess what? Not one American died in the year 2007 in the continental United States from terrorism committed in our borders. Say what? 47,000 died on the road. What you better be afraid of is getting in your car and driving. You say, well, I got to get down to take my kids to the school and go to the grocery store. And Well, you better not. 47,000 people are going to die this year. You might be one of them. Seems to me you have a lot to be worried about on the road, but you don't have anything hardly to be worried about as far as terrorism is concerned. Eat ding-dongs and potato chips and you might get cancer. That's what the doctors are saying. Maybe we ought to be frightened of ding-dongs. But it seems like a lot of us are attracted to them. And potato chips and Coca-Colas and all those things that are probably not very good for you and really are more frightening than terrorism. Why aren't you frightened of potato chips? I mean, you see a potato chip bag, you ought to just start shaking, quivering. I think some of you do start quivering because you want it. Well, that's a different story. Oh, my. We have a no-fly list. They say 875,000 people are on the government's no-fly list. They are potential terrorists. I'm surprised my name ain't got on there. I'm shocked, in fact. My name's not on the no-fly list. Well, it probably will be after I, you know, inform the government. They say, what? We forgot Tex Mars? Add him. Now we have 875,001 person on our no-fly list. The government's watching the internet all the time looking for terrorists. Evidently, they didn't have to look too hard. Nobody died from terrorist acts last year. Who are they looking for? I think they're looking for people like you and me just saying what we want to, free speech. We're the enemy, it seems like, not the terrorists. There are no terrorists. Sort of reminds me, you know, of the book 1984 by George Orwell. As he was being tortured by the government, Winston Smith asked Mr. O'Brien, his interrogator and torturer, he said, does Big Brother really exist? And O'Brien, the agent, the monstrous federal agent of the government who was doing the torturing, told Winston, of course Big Brother exists. He's always existed and he will always exist. And Big Brother needs a boogeyman to make you afraid of him. Now, Saddam Hussein was sufficiently evil and a boogeyman. And everybody was afraid of Saddam Hussein. He had weapons of mass destruction. Not. It was all a big fabricated lie. There were no weapons of mass destruction, But Condoleezza Rice, our Secretary of State, says, imagine a mushroom cloud, atomic bombs over American cities. We've got to get rid of Saddam Hussein before he does us all in. The guy had nothing. He didn't have a military that wanted to fight us. Saddam Hussein was not a threat to the United States. Well, it doesn't matter now. We've spent 5,000 American lives. We've killed up to 1 million Iraqi citizens in bombing and other military attacks on their cities and towns since we attacked in Iraq. All because of the boogeyman, Saddam Hussein. But wait, there's Osama bin Laden. Now, nobody's met Osama bin Laden, but we seem to have see a lot of him on TV, and every once in a while they come out with a tape. An audio tape. And this is his voice, they say. Be scared. Be very afraid of Osama bin Laden. Big Brother's nemesis. And all of you must fear the boogeyman. You know, I have a video you must see on powerofprophecy.com. It's an interview by Britain's interviewer David Frost on British TV with former Prime Minister of Pakistan, Benazir Bhutto. Very attractive, very intelligent woman. She was asked about Osama bin Laden. And Mr. Frost says, I understand that Osama bin Laden is hiding out in your country of Pakistan. And Benazir Bhutto says that would not be possible. He's been dead for years. Huh? He's been dead for years? Well, I thought we're still looking for him. We're still bombing little towns and villages in Pakistan and Afghanistan. We've still got thousands of troops in Afghanistan looking for the boogeyman. But Miss Bhutto says, I know he was killed. He's been dead for years. I know he is dead. I know for a fact he's dead. Now, Musharraf, the president of Pakistan, was asked about it, and he said, well, he's dead. Osama bin Laden is dead. He died of kidney failure. He had a kidney problem, and he died. By the way, that's in Pervez Musharraf's book. He wrote a book, and he sold it throughout America a few years ago. The president of Pakistan, the country where we're looking for Osama bin Laden, says there is no Osama bin Laden. He's been dead for years. No wonder George Bush says, well, we're not worried about him anymore. I don't care whether he's living or not. The moron in the White House doesn't care about Osama bin Laden because now they have a new boogeyman. Osama didn't work out. Saddam has been found and hung, and now we have another one, Akhmedinejad of Iran. He's the new Hitler, the new Mussolini, the new Stalin, all in one, the boogeyman, Big Brother's nemesis. Be very afraid of Akhmedinejad. He might be able to get hold of a nuclear weapon. You could die. Now, you could also die one block from your home in your family car when somebody rear-ends you, but that's different. You might die by falling down in your bathtub while you're taking a bath tonight, or you might fall off your back porch, slip and fall, and hit your head on the sidewalk, but that's different. Be very afraid of the boogeyman. After all, the Illuminati elite say so. Terrorism is number five. Now, sixth thing you've got to be worried about and fearful, they say, and it's very connected with terrorism, is a nuclear bomb. Mushroom clouds. You know, we've discovered that the Illuminati have a little motto they go by. Perpetual war for perpetual peace. They're always seeking peace. And how can they obtain peace for you and me? By conducting war. So there's got to be a war going on all the time so that we can have peace. Isn't that interesting? Perpetual war for perpetual peace. I've told you before, when I was in the Air Force, I always laughed. I laughed. You see, I used to drive into Bergstrom Air Force Base, and they had a great big water tank. And it was a strategic air command base. This is many years ago. It changed later to become another kind of command. But there was Bergstrom Air Force Base Strategic Air Command. Well, those were the guys that had the big bombers and all, the big missiles. When I drove in, they had a big, they had the SAC, the Strategic Air Command logo or emblem, painted on the big water tower at the air base. This is when I was an Air Force officer. And there was their motto. It said, peace is our business. It sounded so good. They were training us. We were trained killers. We had the capability through our bombers, our aircraft, and our missiles to kill millions of people somewhere in the world. You would think it would say death is our business, but our motto was peace is our business. And we always laughed. We said, yeah, peace is our business, but war is our profession. But see, the liars make up stories. And they use Orwellian language. So the Strategic Air Command said, peace is our business. And we, as I said, always said, well, war is our profession, of course. Terrorism, the boogeyman. They're after you. They're everywhere. And the government's here to protect you from the boogeymen and the nuclear bombs and the mushroom clouds. So we must make war continually so we can have peace. Perpetual war for perpetual peace. Now, a seventh fear, believe me, this is something you've got to fear, is isolationism. George Bush said that. There are those among you who are isolationist. Oh, you've got to fear them. They want to keep America separate from the other nations. They want to close our borders. They don't want to admit that it's a global society. They're these patriotic nuts. They don't believe in free trade. They don't believe in NAFTA or the Trans-America Corridor Highway. They don't believe in having American troops in 130 countries around the world. They don't believe in spending $1 trillion of taxpayers' money wasted on wars around the world. They're isolationist. Fear them. They're dangerous. Why? If you listen to the isolationists, there'll be no more wars. And then the nuclear bombs may fall on you, and the terrorists could come, and climate change could get you, and you'll run out of food, and then there'll be water scarcity, and the oil will not even be there. Isolationists are your enemy. Fear them. Now, the eighth thing you've got to fear, the elites say, in their psyops plans, in their alchemy of control, you've got to fear Christianity, true Christianity. The fake Christianity, yeah, they lack that. But the Christian fundamentalist, the ones who are pro-life, you got to fear them. Well, they might set up a religious government. They might put a Christian in as president. And you know what? They might want the Ten Commandments hanging in schools. Do you know what would happen to your children if they started reading those Ten Commandments on the walls? The ACLU and the ADL say, we can't allow that. We can't allow the Ten Commandments on the wall. Think of the horror of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. What if every child in America knew such rules and practiced them? Why, it could be the end of culture. It could be the end of civilization. And so we've got to get the government and the Supreme Court of the United States to issue rules, to promulgate orders. They will be taken down. They're dangerous to the mental health of the children. You've got to fear these kind of things. You've got to fear a Christian manger scene at Christmas time. You've got to fear if a cashier at Walmart says, Merry Christmas. Ooh, fear that. Those theocrats are going to get you. They're going to take you away. They're going to put you in a prison. They're Christians. They're mean. They're evil. They're Christian fundamentalists because they believe in the fundamentalists of the gospel. They want a Christian nation. They want passion plays at Easter. Watch out. Fear them. And then finally, in addition to Christianity, you got to fear Islam. The Jews, the Judaism, that's wonderful. That's great. They're lovely. They're God's chosen people. But the Muslims, you got to fear. You've got to have some Islamophobia about you. Every Muslim wants to kill you. Fear them. War against them. Kill them first. Nine fears the elite are exploiting in their psychological operations, in their alchemy of control, in their attempt to psychologically and economically batter the masses, that's you and me, into submission. Now, how do you fight that? Remember they're devils. Remember they're liars. You don't have to believe their shortages. You don't have to believe in climate change. You don't have to believe that terrorism is a problem. You don't have to believe that Islam is a problem, even though it would be better for an Islam person to be a Christian, no doubt about it. You can be an isolationist. You don't have to be a globalist. You can be everything they don't want you to be. And you can believe in Jesus. This is Tex Martin. It's been great being with you today. We've been exposing the psychological handiwork of the Illuminati elite and telling you again the truth. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.